Well, thank you very much for your welcome today. Thank you, James, for leading this morning. And indeed, as has been mentioned a couple of times, we're in 1 Thessalonians, just 5 chapters, 89 verses, I calculate, but a letter well understood, often preached, actually, in lively churches over the years, full of practical wisdom and clarity and encouragement. And I would certainly encourage you to read 1 Thessalonians several times during this forthcoming sermon series. I mean, here in this epistle, clearly we have Paul's team in Thessalonica, in modern-day Greece. The apostle or church leader, evangelist Paul, writes to encourage and warn the church there. Not just to encourage, but to warn the church there, to inform them. And the date would probably be about 60 AD, something like that. But one of the key things is that we see immediately, don't we, in this passage, verse 2 in particular, we always thank God for all of you. I mean, he wants them to know how grateful he is to God for the encouragement and presence and the real faith of this Christian community. And for what? Their work produced by faith, their labor prompted by love, and their endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's certainly quite convinced that he's dealing with, writing to, real believers, convinced of their repentance and faith, their fruitfulness of speaking up for the gospel in a difficult situation. We'll see that in just a minute. It says in the midst of severe suffering, verse 6, and their genuine Christian behavior. Of course, it's obvious, isn't it? But this letter was written to a specific historical situation about 2,000 years ago. And you'd say, well, yes, but the culture has changed considerably. The language has changed. But of course, what doesn't change is human nature. Human nature doesn't change. And God is the same God who doesn't change. And the message of the gospel doesn't change. That's why it's so meaningful and helpful and relevant to read your Bible and to seek to understand it. This is a letter which is part of the inspired word of God. And it covers quite a lot of ground and does it very well. I mean, chapter 1, you probably had this summary last week. Forgive me if I repeat anything. But is Paul's thanksgiving for the Thessalonians. Chapter 2 is about Paul's amazing ministry in Thessalonica. Chapter 3 is the apostle's assistant Timothy's encouraging report about the Thessalonians. And chapters 4 and 5 are about practical Christian living. And as has been mentioned this morning, the final return, second return, of Jesus Christ at the end of time. But as I've said in starting, chapter 1, verses 1 to 10 is where we learn and hear of Paul's gratitude for the genuine faith and conduct of the Thessalonian believers and some of the essential aspects of the gospel. For 5 years, just before I retired 5 years ago, I was pastor of a small French-speaking church in French-speaking Belgium. And I can still remember the small church prayer meetings we would have on Fridays. The churches in Belgium, evangelical churches, are generally pretty small. And we would have prayer meetings, and a faithful bunch of people would come. And I loved the prayers of these people, sincere, moving, and humble. I just found their presence moving and encouraging. Their solidarity, their evident love for God and their braveness in being believers in a very much a non-believing culture, as Belgium is. So I would say at the end, thanks for coming, France, that's one of the men I can particularly remember. Thanks so much for coming. And actually, in the Belgian culture, saying thank you is not so common as it is in the British culture. British people, by the way, are known to be those who say thank you all the time. For us, it's just a natural thing to do. So thanks for coming to church this morning. I used to say that as the pastor after the service. Thanks for coming to church this morning. And they would say, well, of course I come to church. Why do you thank me? What I was meaning is, one of them was thanks for your encouragement. Like you, for example. Thanks for coming this morning, not just to be here, but to be encouraging me in persevering in the Christian faith. So that was true for Paul. Oh, I'm so thankful for you, and continually mention you in our prayers. We get this, don't they, for 5 and 6. Because our gospel came not to you simply with words, but also with power of the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Well done, he's saying to them. Against all odds, you're genuine believers, suffering, believing, laboring, enduring, optimistic, and speaking up for the gospel. And that was true of those people in the church in Belgium where I worked. You're such an encouragement. So what was important for Paul? What was his, as it were, his mission? What was important? I mean, what is being a Christian? A visitor here might simply say, well, Stephen, you would say that because you're a member of a small club and it's lovely when somebody turns up. I mean, is being a Christian just a religious habit like going to church? Is it just having nice friends, friendly people who are on the same wavelength as I am, who just kind of believe the same things? Or feeling good about being good and nice person, or being a praying person? Well, it certainly includes those things. But what is the essential root then? And I think that Paul affirms these things in this short passage. He does this by highlighting what the Thessalonians manifest in their conduct and character. Verses 2 and 3, thanking God, we remember you before God. Their work, their efforts, their lifestyle, their endurance were evidently inspired by their faith in God, by their hope in God. That's very clear, isn't it, from verse 3. You are what you are, dear Thessalonians. We're so thankful for you because you have a genuine faith, genuine love for God, belief in his love, and in endurance inspired by your hope of Jesus coming back. That's great. And verses 4 and 5. They'd heard the gospel and responded to the message, and this revealed God's call to them and his sovereign will. That's great. And more than that, they'd actually not only become imitators of Paul and the troops and of the Lord, but actually they'd suffered with joy, nonetheless, given by the Holy Spirit. What a remarkable testimony that was. And what's very significant, verses 9 and 10, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. Ooh, that's not very politically correct, is it? When you talk the gospel about somebody, or the Christian message is spoken of in our context, you very often hear of the love of God and the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus is the one who rescues us from the coming wrath, from hell, from eternal condemnation. So the focus here is one of genuine repentance and faith. They demonstrated that. A genuine change in lifestyle. They were imitators of Paul and the troops. And there was a real impact on those around them by their speaking up for the truth. What a mission. So Paul cheers them on. Paul is so grateful to God for what he has done for them and how they've responded. And how does this apply to us now? It applied to them then, but how to us now? Well, we must be clear as to the gospel message. We must be clear. My wife and I often listen during breakfast time to the, what's it called, the service? The Sunday worship, that's right, on Radio 4, about 8:10. We must be clear as to the gospel message. Was the gospel message this morning clear? No. We must be clear as to what being a Christian believer really means in practice. Was it clear in that service? No, it really wasn't. And we must be committed and convinced and committed to live out the Christian beliefs with courage and consistency, like the Thessalonians did. And also, as I've mentioned before this morning, cheering on others who, by living out their faith with others, encourage others to do the same. And this is especially useful for younger generations. I am so grateful now as an older man. I mean, you might not understand that quite. As an older man now, I'm so grateful for older people in my life over the last decades who've demonstrated to me a living Christian faith and have shown me it works. Well, 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 what a surprise. When Ruth and I started out in full-time missionary work in 1987, one lady and her husband, then both believers, supported us. It's just an example in prayer and financially. Later, her dear husband, 20-odd years ago, died. But she went on praying for us. Her name is Elaine. And I know this because she would check up on subjects which I'd asked her to pray for, even months later, and said, oh, by the way, I was praying for, and I realized that she was praying for us. Really? I was so encouraged by her example of faithfulness and commitment to the gospel. We can be like that. And that's one of the goals, isn't there? One of the things you can do, I speak very respectfully, as an older person. Of course, I'm not looking at anybody in this congregation, of course, obviously, but as an older person, we can do that. We can echo the testimony of Paul in that sense. For the moment, we don't face opposition, overt opposition and difficulty. But let us thank God and pray for those who do suffer and find persevering especially challenging, like one of the prayers prayed this morning. So let's be thankful in the way that Paul was thankful for the Thessalonians. Let's thank God for those in your past who have directed you to Christ. I still remember those who directed me to Christ when I was a young man of 20. And be yourselves. Let us be helped to encourage younger people to live in a consistent Christian life. That's what Paul was doing. Empathizing with, understanding, praying for, encouraging, and affirming the truths of the gospel, saying to the Thessalonians, great, be careful, be firm in your faith, love one another, put the gospel first, and let your faith ring out amongst those who don't believe. May God be with you. Let's pray. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love,
and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, may we do work produced by faith. May we labor, motivated, prompted by a genuine love for you and our neighbor. And may we run with endurance, perseverance, inspired by the hope of Jesus Christ coming back one day. Father, we thank you for the cross of Christ, forgiveness of our sins, and life eternal. You who rescue us from the coming wrath. So help us to live differently, not to be perfect models, but to be models of those who believe, who love, and who trust you, who hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen.